We're going to take a deep dive. Into what really is the great goodness, the supreme goodness, as Lhotse talks about it. He uses the metaphor of water, and there is a reason for it. Water is essential. I mean, absolutely, you must understand that. It is absolutely essential. Without it, all existence in the world would not be here. And what most people do not understand about water is, as he talks about it, it goes in places that people loathe. In other words, it is everywhere. And it nurtures. And when this water is not allowed to flow, when it is kept, shall we say, in a pond where it cannot flow, its nature changes. It keeps certain things alive, like polywogs and different kinds of bugs that bite us, mosquitoes and things like that. The object of the effort is to come to a place where we can let goodness flow and not allow it to get stagnant. Goodness must be deep, kind, sincere, just, able, and timely, as he calls it. Many things have been bestowed upon you by this teacher, not only in this series, but in workshops and, of course, retreats. And the refusal, the whole idea of being so willful that we become obstinate to the truth, we can't even recognize it. Our whole life is lived in the obstinance of what is, shall we say, loving and kind. Those things I just mentioned, deep, kind, sincere, just, able, timely. These are things that we don't think about very much. Water is something that is used as a metaphor to show the primal need for goodness in this world. And we don't really appreciate this goodness at all. Lhotse uses the example of water as one of the most tremendous offerings that this world has ever seen. It can be used for great goodness, and it can be used for great evil. It all depends on the state of your being, the state of how you are postured within yourself. Many people who listen to these discourses will say to me, "I listen to them, but I can't remember them." And I understand. It is because the mind is postured in obstinance. Jesus talked about this in a parable. Let me read it to you and try to understand. A farmer went out to sow his seeds. As he was scattering the seeds, some fell along the path, and the birds came and ate them up. Some fell on rocky places where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched, and they withered and had no root. Other seeds fell among thorns, which grew up and choked the plants. Still others fell on good soil. where it produced a crop 160 or more, 30 times that which was sown. Whosoever hears, let them hear. The seeds are like water. Seeds need water. I plant seeds within you. Just by being around you, I plant seeds. Some of these teachings that you hear in these discourses, they don't fall on fertile soil. You can think of these teachings as a matter of philosophy or thoughts. If you do, you miss. You miss the whole effort. Because thoughts can be forgotten easily, especially ones that do not pertain to our need to survive, self-preservation. And that's really the only ears that people listen to me from. So a lot of the teachings that I offer fall on rocky places because they don't have what is necessary for true awareness. It isn't important that you understand. It is important that you understand why you don't understand. Listen to this from Lao Tzu. The way is empty, yet contains all. Words cannot describe it. Better that one should look for it within. There is a goodness in you that you have forgotten, that you have betrayed. This goodness exceeds and supplants logic and reasoning. You have many things passing through your mind while you're listening to me. I don't ever get your full attention because your thoughts are thinking about, well, what if and what about and how does this work? It is always strategizing, trying to find a strategy to live your life. Lao Tzu is suggesting, as did Jesus, that our minds are not the proper way to listen to anything that is of the, shall we say, higher truths. We have to learn to listen without desire, without trying to convince our minds of the importance of what is being shared. If I only listen to a discourse based on the idea of how I will survive, how this will help me with my unrequited love, how this will help me with my self-preservation needs, I will miss. This is what Jesus meant. Some fall on rocky places. Some fell among thorns, choked the plants. But there are some seeds that fall on good ground. This is the great goodness that lives within you. And it would be important for all of us to make that goodness, instead of living out of the fear of what might happen to us. Because the teachings sound so different. They create a certain vulnerability in us that we don't truly understand. So when we meditate, our mind is in constant resistance. No matter how I offer tones to you and breath patterns, which are all important, you find a way not to do them. You find a way to go through the mechanics of them, but never realize them. I understand. I do. You've lived a very treacherous life. It has been very formidable to have to face you, how you have used your goodness and made it a commodity. What do people have to do to gain your goodness? What do they have to say? What do they have to not say? What do they have to give you that is beneficial? Well, these things are all a matter of taste, matter of opinion. And the taste within you, if you live from your body, which most people do, is to survive. So they are only hearing what will help them survive as they are. They don't want to change. They don't want to let go of everything they've learned. They want, in other words, a way to add to their sorrow, add to their neurotic behaviors, add to their fears, their obsessive compulsiveness. That's what they do. That's all they can do. There is a goodness in you that is beyond the knowledge you think you have about yourself. What do you really know about yourself? Do you have the ears to hear? To hear what is beyond the knowledge you think you have of yourself? Months ago, before we entered into the March retreat, I asked everyone to do a narrative of themselves, to see what is behind everything. Who's that little man with the levers and the buttons? Who's that little man that everything has to pass through? Every teaching, every sense of goodness, everything has to pass through this little man, and he is manufacturing all sorts of evidence only for the idea of what is easy, what is desirable, and what will overcome our fears. The mind is fear. We miss. Deep within us is a goodness. I have watched people turn down. They go down into their genetics, their DNA, their biology, and they start to start the process of living the rest of their life as did their parents. They get angry. They get hostile. Some even quit their effort to even listen to the practice. And the reason for it is it doesn't coincide with how they were raised and what they thought of as true. So they turn down into this deep depression. They may not know they're in this depression, but they are. They're not interested in the higher good. Not at all. The great goodness that lives within them. They're only interested in how to survive and stay the way they are. Live in the premise of a sinking ship as it goes down, down, down into the fathoms of great hostility. They sacrifice their life for this hostility. They become obstinate. Are you obstinate? What is it about the manner of the way that is so difficult for you? It's really very simple. It's about yielding. Water is yielding. It can do a great deal of good, and it can do a lot of damage, too. It all depends on the energetics of it. When my energy is pointed towards survival, when my energy is pointed towards the idea that there is no good thing in me, this is when a great deal of sadness, sorrow, sickness happens. People live in accord with their biology and not their heart. There are two things that link us to the great goodness. To live through the heart, and then to make that the spirit of our life. And if you look at the spirit of your life, do you know what it is? I think you would be very surprised to find out that you're indifferent to the great goodness that Lhotse talks about. You've allowed your energies, like water, to come benign to the goodness of your heart. People have to earn the goodness of your heart, don't they? They have to, in some way, show you that they're sincere or they have your best interests in mind. So anything that I would say to you would fall among the thorny places, the rocky places, because your mind is purported and positioned into what's good for me, what is going to help me, what is it that I want, that I need to get, blah, blah, blah. What's it take to be you? This is a meditation. What does it take to be you? What kind of attitudes, beliefs? How do you deal with your sorrows, your disappointments? How do you handle the great goodness that happens to you? Do you hoard it? Do you hide it? Or do you share it? Do you do things that are kind and compassionate because you can? Or do you do them to find some adoration from it? Feeling guilty and ashamed for the way your mind works. This is the way religion works. Makes people feel bad so they feel good. Normal. Lhotse is not doing this. He is saying the great way lives in small things and large things. Good deeds are wonderful, but they have to be accompanied by great love, or they fall short. We miss because there's no love in our heart. We only have that human love. I watch people as they sit with me, as they are in workshops and retreats, and they have tears in their eyes, many. Some because they feel so bad about what they've done and what they've said and the terrible things that they wish they hadn't done in retrospect. And others that have nothing more than self-pity. If you're going to live your life in the manner of the way, you will find that to define good is not a great thing. But Lhotse shows us how this all works. And it's very, very important that I understand it and that you understand it. A good mind is deep. A good gift is kind. A good word is sincere. A good ruler is just. A good worker is able. A good deed is timely. I'd like to meditate with you. What does it take to be you? What do you have to endure to be you? And what do others have to endure to be with you, rather than making it an endurance. Maybe it would be better to make it a blessing. Let's meditate.